Good morning and welcome to chapel. This morning we begin with the Beatitudes of our Lord. You can find this on page 179 in the front portion of the hymnary. And we will speak this responsively, beginning with the pulpit side, so the side I'm standing on, then lectern side over there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are you, when they revile, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Our sermon text was read as the Beatitudes previously. Please be seated. In life, we occasionally have moments that stun us, that cause us to pause and question our existence itself. Why am I here? What am I doing? And I had such a moment when I was in my first year of college. It happened especially as I was walking up a particular stairwell. I was walking up this stairwell, and this university, there were two dorm buildings that were basically copies of each other. I was on the fifth floor of one, and I was going up to a friend's room. His name was Chris. And as I'm walking up those stairs, I realize I have the sneaking suspicion, you know, these stairs were just like the stairs that I walked up in my dorm room that whole year. And as I walked and approached his room felt like I was walking in the exact same place and spot where my room was. And the only difference was that he actually had died tragically and suddenly. And it was the kind of death where it was an unusual formation of blood vessels that he had had from birth and had been totally unaware of. And it caused him to die very suddenly. And he had basically had a stroke and then been flown back. And the thing was, we had been to grade school together, we had been to high school together, and here we were about 4 hours away from home at college. And it was one of those things where, as I was in that room, I stopped and was wondering, you know, why we had such a similar background, mirror images of rooms even in college, and why was it him that had died and not me? And what struck me even more is, since we had all of these mutual connections and were friends, so I was tasked with bringing some of his personal belongings back home for the funeral at the same church we were both baptized in even. And as I gathered his belongings, I remember, you know, in these kind of crisis moments, you tend to get fixated on very little things sometimes. And I remember that laundry basket especially sticking out of my mind, and how much of an injustice it felt like here his most personal possessions I'm taking back to his parents for the funeral, and all I had to put them in is a laundry basket. And it just struck me, you know, what is this all for? Well, what's the meaning of our time here? Why was it him? And why wasn't he the one coming up to my room, putting my belongings into a laundry basket to take home? And today, All Saints Day, we look at, yes, the believers who've gone before us, but we also come to grips with challenging topics like our own mortality and what seems like the utter futility of our lives themselves. The vast majority of our days, I think we maybe could admit, we are in blissful ignorance that death is something very real. And we often don't think about what our meaning to life is as well. What am I really here for? It's easy for us to get in the mode where the meaning of our lives is basically unbridled selfishness. Is my point here to get the stuff that I want, to amass things that I think I'm going to make myself happy? Or on the other hand, maybe we think that, no, I've been so caring and loving to people around me, I've been so selfless, and life is about being nice to the people around me. Oh, really? Haven't we not also brought sin to those closest to us? Haven't we caused hurt to people around us? We might think it's like, yeah, if I died, oh, the world would be devastated. But I think when we come to grips with our sins, the hurt that we've caused too, we realize, yeah, what is this for? Haven't I been sinful here? Haven't I been prideful? Haven't I made my life about me, building like a Tower of Babel, a tower to my own homage and glory, out of a house, out of a deck of cards, spiritually speaking? And then when that comes crashing down on us, and when we're aware of the futility of our lives, the meaninglessness, the hopelessness of everything we've constructed for ourselves, of every prop we've used to prop up a me-focused life, and that comes crashing down, and we realize the devastation of our sins, we're ready to hear, Christ's great words here for our text, which we read. He says, blessed. We're ready to hear blessed. Here in these Beatitudes, he's speaking to us. These first four especially, he's showing how there are so many things that we lack, and yet he is there to fulfill and take care of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's us. We don't have anything spiritual that's good. We have sin. We have shortcomings. We have hurt that we've caused. And yet he's there to fix it. He says, yours is the kingdom. He says, blessed are those who mourn. He's going to comfort. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's going to fulfill that and take care of that in his own righteousness. We are the meek, the lowly, those small blips in this universe. And he says to us that, he says, we'll inherit the earth. And when we look at these Beatitudes, we can wonder, how are these points connected? Have I earned the result of this? Have I earned this blessing by fitting certain conditions? No. We see that everything is purely by God's grace. That he doesn't say, blessed are the mourn, because you're going to cheer yourself up. He doesn't say, blessed, poor in spirit, you'll work your way out of that. He blesses. He states our shortcoming in these first ones, and he states how he fixes it. And so that's truly what he's done in this world. He came and was perfect in our place. He died on the cross. He rose again so that our poverty in spirit would be fulfilled and taken care of with a kingdom itself. He knows our mourning. He knows we realize and are troubled in this life, and the things aren't perfect, and we have tough times. And he says, we will be comforted. He accomplished that by, he's going to take us out of this valley of sorrow into eternal life through Christ's work. He tells us, blessed are the meek, the lowly, that we're going to inherit the earth. Why does God keep and preserve this world? Well, he does it for his church, for us, for the message of the gospel to be proclaimed. And for us who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, he fulfills that in Christ and gives us righteousness and worthy so we can stand before God and know that we have heaven itself thanks to Christ's work for us. So though death can strike suddenly and tragically at any point in time, in Christ we know he's taken care of death and earned for us heavenly mansions all for free. The remaining Beatitudes deal with the problem of our own futility and how he gives us meaning to our lives. It says, blessed are the merciful. And he talks about the pure in heart and the peacemakers and so forth. And we might feel guilty at first and think, well, have I been that merciful? Does this really apply to me? But I don't think he's doing this to send us on a guilt trip right now, because he's emphasizing blessed. He's saying this to show value in the lives he's put in front of us, in the vocations and the service we do to other people. And he could have said, thou shalt be, but he doesn't. He says, blessed. And so these works of merciful, peacemaking, the purity and sincerity to others, the even willing to suffer for the sake of the truth and Christ, those things are valuable and meaningful in God's eyes. And when we think about what does the world consider valuable and important, well, things like earthly glory and money and fame, those don't really count or matter much with God. What does matter? Well, these Beatitudes show he is glad to have us participate in some of the works Christ did in this earth too, the showing mercy, the kindness. He's placed before us these roles, these good works, that we would walk in them. And so no matter those around us and the world might think these are little things and that life is meaningless, and from a worldly perspective, it certainly can feel like that. But in Christ, these are the things that are truly valuable. These are the things that matter to him, the calling that he's put before us in our lives. And so this All Saints Day, this day commemorating those that have gone before us, it can be hard as you remember the reality of death
and sometimes the feeling of futility that is there in life. But here in the Beatitudes, Jesus has shown how he solved both of those challenges. He has conquered death itself. He's taken care of our spiritual poverty and bestowed on us a kingdom. What's more, he has turned the futility of our existence into meaningfulness in that he values the path he's put before us. I don't know why my friend Chris died suddenly and tragically when I was in college and it wasn't me. There are many things we don't know, but we do know the word blessed. And that's truly the thing to take home from this text. We are blessed in Christ here in this life as he gives us meaning. We're blessed even eternally thanks to his work for us. Amen. Please rise as we join in prayer. Our prayer for this morning is prayer 137 on page 165 in the front portion of the hymnary. O Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.